Are we part of some larger Judeo-Christian tradition? Are we committed to Judeo-Christian values? We'll be taking a closer look at these questions this week on Exploring the Faith. I'm Kurt Parton, and this is Exploring the Faith, where we examine any question or issue that helps us be more faithful as followers of Jesus Christ. We want to be growing always closer to God, to more deeply understand the life He's brought us into, to help and encourage our fellow believers, and to meaningfully engage the culture around us. Welcome to the discussion. A few weeks ago, a good friend sent me an article on the topic of Judeo-Christian values and asked me what I thought. The article was emphasizing the importance of these Judeo-Christian values, claiming that this is what our society really needs and that these values are what we should be seeking to promote and advance. This sentiment isn't unusual. And you've probably heard similar things expressed about how crucial is Judeo-Christian tradition and Judeo-Christian values. But how should we process this idea as Christians? Something interesting I've observed is that I hear these kinds of comments from people very involved with politics and with some kind of culture war, but I rarely, if ever, hear anything about Judeo-Christian tradition or values from biblical scholars or church historians. And the reason for that is simple. We just don't find Judeo-Christian tradition or values either in Scripture or throughout most of church history. And this is important because as followers of Christ, we first need to evaluate these kinds of ideas from a biblical perspective. While it's true that Christianity emerged, in a sense, from ancient Judaism, from the very beginning, it was also a distinct contrast to Judaism per se, and was always intended by God to complete and supersede the Judaism of the first century. The old covenant people of God were always intended to become the new covenant people of God. If we're speaking of Judeo-Christian values in the sense of Old Testament theology, that's now fulfilled and brought into focus in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then this is perfectly fine. Of course, we'd just be speaking of classic New Testament Christianity, not some broader Judeo-Christian tradition or values. But if we're talking about some kind of celebration of ethical overlap between Jewish moral standards and those of Christ, and an emphasis and prioritizing of this in public life, then this is very contrary to what we see from Jesus, from Paul, or any of the other apostles. Jesus was not preaching Judeo-Christian values. In fact, he strongly challenged the traditional values of the people to whom he preached. The Sermon on the Mount is largely Jesus making clear how inadequate were traditional Jewish values. And the ones who were the most faithful to traditional Judeo values were the ones he challenged the most harshly. If you want to get a sense of what Paul thinks of Judeo values, read Romans chapters 2 and 3. He tells the Jews, the Gentiles, and that would be those outside of a tradition of Judeo-Christian values. He says, the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. He asks the rhetorical question of whether the Jews, those from a Judeo tradition, whether they were any better than anyone else. His answer? Not at all. My podcast episode from March 3rd on the historical existence of Jesus covered in part the extreme hostile opposition to Jesus and to Christianity by some Jews of the first few centuries after Christ. I'm sure both these Jews and the Christians at that time would be baffled to hear them both included in some kind of Judeo-Christian tradition or values. Many who speak of these Judeo-Christian values make the point that we worship the same God. And that begs an interesting question. Do Jews, that is, followers of Judaism, and Christians worship the same God? It's not as simple a question as you might think, and it's not honoring or respecting anyone to oversimplify it. The best answer would be yes and no. Both Jews and Christians believe in one God, the God of the Hebrew Bible and Christian Old Testament. But some of the Orthodox Jewish people I've known would take great exception to the idea we worship the same God, and they wouldn't be wrong. The God Christians worship is triune. Our God is a Trinity. He is one God who eternally exists in three personally distinct ways. And we believe that God is physically embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. This isn't a minor issue. It's essential to the Christian understanding of God, and it's completely at odds with the concept of God held within Judaism. By the way, Islam and Baha'i also include belief in one creator God, but for some reason, no one ever seems to include them in this Judeo-Christian tradition. Some of what are claimed to be Judeo-Christian values are so overstated as to be problematic. Did the Hebrew Bible really introduce to the world the one God and objective truth, as some claim? So, that would mean these concepts were previously unknown before the writing of the Hebrew Bible? Such a claim actually undermines the beliefs of both faiths, making it sound as if the concepts of monotheism and objective truth were religious ideas created by some priests who wrote the Hebrew Bible. These claims also contradict the Bible itself, which shows people knowing the one true God and objective truth before the writing of the Bible. Some of these so-called Judeo-Christian values are shared by other religions as well, such as the concept of moral truths, good and evil, and divinely ordained distinctions and order. Others of these values artificially blend Judaism and Christianity and reveal an ignorance of both faiths. For instance, the Ten Commandments are not the core of Christian values. Jesus' new commandment of love is. Some branches of Judaism would disagree with the claim that man is not basically good. And many Jews and Christians throughout the history of both religions would disagree with the concept of human free will. Whether we personally happen to agree with these points or not, we can't narrowly define both faiths, exclude all those who would disagree, and then blend these selected bits and pieces into some artificial hybrid Judeo-Christian tradition or system of values that's no longer truly Jewish or Christian. This talk of Judeo-Christian tradition or values virtually always ends up somehow being tied uniquely to the United States. Many even claim confidently that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Now, some have denied that Christianity had any influence at all in the founding of our nation, and that's simply incorrect. Of course, Christianity was tremendously influential in other nations as well, particularly in Europe, with many countries being self-declared Christian nations, with Christianity being reflected in their flags and traditions and even official state churches. This isn't true of the United States. In intentional contrast to this, our founding fathers from the beginning took great pains to be clear that this new nation was not a distinctly Christian nation. For instance, in a treaty begun under George Washington, carried unanimously by the U.S. Senate, and signed into law by John Adams in 1797, we find this statement: "The government of the United States is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion. The United States is not a Christian nation any more than it is a Jewish or a Mohammedan nation," meaning to them a Muslim nation. We should never deny the widespread influence of Christianity on European and American culture, but we need to be careful in going too far the other way as well. Just because others have rewritten history doesn't give us the right to. Some claim the rites described in our nation's founding are specifically and uniquely Judeo-Christian values. Now, as an American, I treasure the Declaration of Independence. and I appreciate its reference to a creator from whom we derive human rights. This is an important part of our history, and one that's often overlooked even by those who work to preserve and defend those rights. But there's a couple of things we need to be very clear about. First, Thomas Jefferson wrote about these self-evident, unalienable rights, and also his reference to nature's God, in such a way that they were intentionally not dependent on Judeo-Christian understanding, but could include deism, a theistic belief in God that was neither Jewish nor Christian, and that was, by the way, predominant among the founding fathers. Secondly, is this emphasis on individual rights that were endowed by our Creator, is this taught in Scripture? These specific rights described by Jefferson and company in the Declaration of Independence are part of the foundation for our system of government and the liberties we enjoy. It's very important. But are these rights, as described in our Declaration, are they scripturally mandated, a core essential of some Judeo-Christian values? If so, how do we square the Old Testament monarchy with these essential God-given rights? If it was Judeo-Christian values that caused them to reject the monarchy of King George, why not King David or King Solomon? In the Old Testament, didn't they impose taxation without representation? How do these rights work with the apostles and Jesus' instructions to submit willingly to the Roman governing authorities who are occupying Israel and denying them these kinds of rights? Please understand, I'm not arguing against human rights or for going back to a monarchy. I thank God for the rights we enjoy and that many other nations enjoy. These rights are core to who we are as Americans, and people of other nations could say something similar. But these rights are not core to who we are as Christians. Countless multitudes lived as faithful followers of Christ without enjoying these same rights we do and without contending for them. That didn't make them any less Christian. As an American, I'll endeavor to protect and preserve these rights. And it's very natural for Christians to seek these kinds of rights for everyone whenever we have opportunity. But Scripture never calls us to fight for these rights as believers in Christ. The United States is not and never was a second Israel. The Old Testament nation of Israel was a theocracy, a nation established directly by God through the clear, direct, unambiguous, audible word of God. No one can establish a theocracy but God Himself. We need to be very clear about that. To even attempt to do so would be the height of spiritual arrogance and presumption. To declare any human instituted nation a second Israel is grossly inappropriate and opens the door to nationalistic idolatry. Anytime Christians have attempted to set up, through human effort, some kind of theocracy, it has always and inevitably become malevolent, resulting in great evil. Of course, we want to honor Jewish tradition and the historical and even spiritual, in some sense, connection that Christianity has with the ancient Jewish faith. And yes, we often find Jewish people sharing similar positions with us on moral and social issues. Of course, we could say the same thing about Muslims, or Sikhs, or Buddhists. But that doesn't make this identity, with Judaism or anything else, core or paramount for us as Christians. Indeed, it must not. Jesus also shared similar positions with others on certain issues, most often with Pharisees. Yet he would not allow himself to be co-opted into any kind of alliance or self-perceived identity that would detract from his ability to call people with complete clarity to the gospel of Christ. He showed no interest in advancing or emphasizing some Pharisee-Christian values. We can certainly work together with people of any faith or no faith to seek to bring about beneficial change to society, or to prevent harmful change. But we don't do this as part of some Judeo-Christian tradition. If we can neatly and harmoniously fit entirely within some concept of Judeo-Christian values, then we are not being transformed by the Spirit of Christ. If we're being molded and shaped into the image of Christ, then we'll increasingly be driven by values that are unlike any values of our non-Christian friends, and that includes our non-Christian Jewish friends. That's not to insult any non-Christians or to say anything against anyone who's Jewish. It's only to acknowledge what the Scriptures teach about the uniqueness of life in Christ and the transforming work God does in us, only through Christ and His Spirit within us. If we're living faithfully, others may admire the values of Christ in us, but they won't be able to truly share in them until they, too, come into genuine relationship with our Creator and life in Him through faith in Jesus Christ. This is basic biblical Christianity. The Bible is clear that we don't share any spiritual or religious or even consistently moral identity with non-Christians, including non-Christian Jews, through shared values. There is no true fellowship between light and darkness. And according to Scripture, non-Christians, including non-Christian Jewish people, are still spiritually in darkness. There's only one thing that can truly unite Jews and Gentiles into one people, or one tradition, or one system of values. And that's the same thing that now separates us: faith in Jesus Christ. We can share with anyone else legitimate attempts to, as needed, either preserve or reform our society. And that's a good thing. We should seek, with others, to do this kind of good. But this isn't ultimately what our nation needs. What our nation needs more than reform is revival. And revival will not come, cannot come, through Judeo-Christian values. We shouldn't neglect opportunities to work with our Jewish friends, or Muslim friends, or Hindu friends, or atheist friends for the betterment of our society. But our identity is not and must not be in any of these occasional alliances. Our identity is in Christ and in His body, the church. We are not sent to proclaim a Judeo-Christian tradition or heritage, and we aren't called to draw people to Judeo-Christian values. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we seek to draw people to Him. He is the hope of our nation. He is the hope of every nation. Our hope is not in any tradition or system of values. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Join us next week as we continue exploring the faith. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate it and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. This will help others find us. You can find a transcript of this episode, along with any show notes, at exploringthefaith.com. Feel free to post a comment and join the discussion. We also welcome any questions or issues that you'd like us to explore. You can submit these at exploringthefaith.com. Exploring the Faith is sponsored by The Orchard, a Jesus-following church that meets in Rancho Cordova, California, and also in weekly interactive online studies. This is my home church, where I'm blessed to serve as teaching pastor. You can find out more about The Orchard at orchardonline.org.